This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Well, good morning. Welcome back to Up North News Radio, unabashedly Wisconsin, brought to you by Courier Newsroom and carried by our friends here along the Civic Media Radio Network at 7:06 on this Tuesday morning, January 14th, 2025. Nice to have you along today on a morning that can only be properly described by meteorologist Brittany Merlot and others in its proper scientific term, stupid cold. We are at 8 below in Chippewa Falls right now. These are the 7 o'clock bus stop temperatures, 11 below in Hayward, minus 10 in Amory, 9 below in Wausau. La Crosse is at minus 1, Rapids minus 7, Green Bay minus 2. It's 2 above in Madison, 3 above in Waukesha, and a sultry 10 degrees at Radio Park in Racine right now. And Greg and others squarely putting the blame on you, Ms. Merlot. Though I personally, if there's not much of a wind, it's like, okay, this is what we go through now and then. It's kind of, it keeps the spiders and snakes away, shall we say.
Yes, you know? It does. And you know what? At one point, it just all feels the same, to be honest with you. It's just darn cold.
Right. And it's like, okay, we have this on the hottest days as well. And I certainly had this during my time living in more tropical climates, where you basically run from... And remember running from an air-conditioned car to an air-conditioned building because it's stupid hot? Mm-hmm. Well, this is just the winter equivalent, you know? We deal with it. Oh, Greg's not buying this at all, are you?
I got two things here. I got airing my grievances right now. First of all, I don't care about the cold. The cold I can handle. I've lived here my whole life. Second of all, I'm talking about the snow. And also, snakes and spiders, where do you live? In the outback? Do you live in Australia?
Have you ever been to Texas? Do you want to see what those cockroaches look like there? We don't have those size roaches here.
I've been to Texas. Everything's bigger there.
That's right.
I don't mess with them.
Tony writes from Ashland on YouTube, Brittany, is there a meteorological reason why there's no wind when it's this cold out, or do I just not notice the wind because I'm inside and it's stupid cold? See, again, they're using the terminology correctly. There's a wind out there. There's a little breeze.
A little breeze. It's not too bad, actually, in Ashland where Tony is. So you're kind of seeing the calmness right by the lake. But the rest of us by Lake Michigan, we're seeing winds up to about 15 miles per hour. So some of the worst wind chills are actually central and eastern. But, of course, as we go through the day today, highs are not climbing much at all. In fact, we're only going to hit the single digits to low teens, and it's really going to be feeling much colder. In fact, it's feeling like a 28 below wind chill right now into Mosinee, and it feels like 26 below right where I'm at in Wausau. So it's a bitter, bitter cold one. It will be bright and beautiful, though. A ton of sunshine on tap for today with a high pressure system still in place. And of course, we are looking at those winds continuing. So highs will really feel more like 10 below into the Northwoods and more near zero for the rest of the state down south and, of course, towards Lake Michigan. So speaking of the lake, lake effect snow still ongoing into Iron County. There's a winter weather advisory that expires this morning, but another couple of inches is still expected. And we do see a warm up as soon as tomorrow. We'll hit the 20s, then the 30s, then the 40s.
I'm sorry, what?
Really
what
cold
now?
Again.
40s again?
We are going through a roller coaster ride over the next few days. So once we get through this cold snap, we climb really, really fast. Friday, we're going to have 40s in southern parts of the state, upper 30s into the Northwoods. Then as soon as the weekend, we go boop, right back down.
Oh, sound
zero.
Effects and everything.
I want you to listen, yeah.
How was that again? No, there are.
Can you see on your screen right now what Robin Tigerton had put on Facebook before you got here?
Oh, my gosh.
Looks like the weather will be on a roller coaster ride in the next week.
Yes, sure will be.
You two you're just two peas in a carrot. You know that. Good morning from Tigerton, Rob writes. It's cloudy, 6 below zero, wind chill 23 below. I remember winters in the past in Tigerton when we'd get a week in the winter where the temperature would stay below zero for a solid week. I'm with Christina Laurie. I don't like drinking alcohol. I drink either water or a diet sun drop. Especially in Shawnee County, you get to be a sun drop fan.
Yep.
He says, I remember watching the news years ago, hearing the teletypes in the background, and I missed that on the television news. Well, we can get a teletype sound effect in there, Greg. Yeah, but there you go.
Breaking news. Tigerton seeing record snow.
Rob says he wants to thank all the snowplow drivers from private to municipal for doing an excellent job clearing off our roads. They did a great job getting out there in icy conditions. And then Alicia noting, we talked about dress up your pet day, says she does put a sweater on her boxer. She is not a fan of the cold. I'm sure she's even less a fan of that sweater, but that's a personal choice, right? All right, Brittany, thank you so much. We'll look forward to tomorrow's visit. Have a great day.
Thanks, you too.
We have a busy hour ahead for you in just a matter of moments. We're going to talk to former Governor Martin Schreiber about being a caregiver for his late wife, the book that he wrote to give advice and counsel to others who are looking to care for loved ones. And then in our second half hour, we'll be talking to our friend Hans Breitenmoser, dairy farmer from up in Lincoln County. And he's brought along Sheila Everhart from the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association. We're going to learn all about ag tourism coming up, and what a growing sector of the Wisconsin economy that it is. So that and more, I think Chad Holmes will be joining us as well. I wanted to share from a sports note standpoint that the Bucks begin a four-game homestand tonight in Milwaukee. Tonight against Sacramento, Wednesday against Orlando, Friday against Toronto, and Sunday against Philadelphia. So four home games in a row here for the Milwaukee Bucks. The Badger men's basketball team, meanwhile, takes on Ohio State tonight. That will be at the Kohl Center. Coverage begins at 7 o'clock. It's an 8 o'clock tip-off tonight. 7 o'clock, the coverage begins on stations across the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Head to civicmedia.us to learn more. And don't forget, you can sign up for our daily newsletter and get your dose of unabashedly Wisconsin news, signing up by clicking subscribe in the banner at the top of our homepage, upnorthnewswi.com. All right, it's my honor to welcome now the 39th governor of the state of Wisconsin, Marty Schreiber, who served in the late 1970s as our 39th governor, alongside our 39th president, Jimmy Carter, who was recently memorialized at a state funeral. We heard from the former governor yesterday about his memories of Jimmy Carter. Today, we wanted to talk to him about what keeps him busy these days, and it involves a book that he wrote about his experiences as a caregiver for his wife as they dealt with Alzheimer's. And former Governor Martin Schreiber joins us live now from Milwaukee. Governor, good morning. How are you? Thank you for being here.
Well, good morning, Pat, and it's good to see you. I haven't seen you, I don't know.
12 years about, years. Yeah.
But you got better looking, there's no question about that. And you were good looking back way then, and so how can they get better? I don't understand.
You know, once a politician, we can't get it out of our blood, can we? This is who we are. I had the best breakfast conversation with you 12 years ago while I was running for governor. And it's folks like you and others who just you walk away going, this is why we do this. You know, the public service aspect of it. It's not about, you know, power and, you know, riches and everything else. And if you're in it for the right reasons, you see how, you know, when you're Marty's age, and I'll let him share it if he wants to. You're still out there having fun and you're still doing good things. You could just be sitting there watching TV. You're traveling around the state. Why do you keep doing that?
Well, I tell you, my experience with my wife, Elaine, and her Alzheimer's going back now some 20 years, just compels me to do it. Compels me to want to go out and visit with people, particularly caregivers. This disease, you know, you can't prevent it. You can't stop it. And so what happens is then that you see your loved one sort of disappear and a little bit every day. And as you do that, as a caregiver, you morph from being a loving spouse or a loving parent or a loving child, you morph into being a caregiver, but you don't know that. And because you morph without knowing that, you experience challenges and situations that you don't know how to handle. And I would tell you that caregiving is probably one of the toughest emotional jobs on the planet Earth. And it is so that way because of the very strong emotional toll it takes. It's a combination of grieving. It's a combination of anxiety, of frustration, of anger, of guilt. All of those things come bubbling to the surface at different times. And we've got to help people better understand how they can learn, cope, and survive as caregivers.
Look, there's we all understand the marriage vows, you know, till death do us part. And we all think that we're going to be there for each other. But, you know, what we can't possibly know back then is whether those later years, you know, will be good. Will they be enjoyable, relaxing, or will there be something related to, you know, injury, illness, disease, whatever the case may be? And I just know that there are folks when they go into this, they don't want to ask for help because they figured, well, I said I would, you know, be the one taking care of this person, or this person would be taking care of me. And so that's just what I'm going to do. And then they don't, I would imagine your experience has been, they then don't get to tap into the resources that could make their lives easier.
Well, you nailed it. Caregivers don't like to ask for help. And what I try and point out is that if you ask for help, it means you're not giving up. And I use the analogy that if we're surrounded by an enemy and things are absolutely hopeless, to sit and do nothing means we are giving up. But it's an act of courage then to understand we can best serve our loved one by getting help, by understanding we can't do it ourselves. But I think more importantly than that is if we really love the person who we are trying to help, if we, as we profess to love them, if there is that feeling, we have to be intellectual, smart about it, and understand that in order for us to really care for our loved one, we ourselves have to be healthy. We ourselves have to be tuned in psychologically and emotionally to how best we can handle and deal with this disease. And if we're not tuned in, if we don't ask for help, if we get ourselves run down, overtired, not enough food, quality food, not enough exercise, not enough socialization, all of those things chip away at the caregiver's ability to do the very thing that they want to do, and that's take care of their loved one.
We are talking to former Governor Marty Schreiber, and when we come back from the break, we'll talk a bit more, not just about the caregiver aspect of it, but, you know, we get so caught up in the present with all the challenges that sometimes it's nice to recall, you know, what was, why you married this person in the first place, why you love them so much that you want to care for them. So we'll get into that in just a moment. First, wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this beautiful but stupidly cold Tuesday morning, when you're here, you're up north live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitler. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
The number one song this week in 1978 was by Player, and Baby Come Back was the number one hit for the first of 3 weeks back in 1978. Marty Schreiber was governor of Wisconsin back then in 1977 and 1978, most or all of that period, and joins us now to talk more about his book and being a caregiver for his wife with Alzheimer's. But I'm going to take you back, Governor, to the late 70s. And you were serving along with President Carter during, I'm sure neither one of you thought when you went into public service that your term in office would be marked by the height of disco. as you look back at that at time right now, from a musical, from a cultural standpoint, is there anything that still sticks with you? I mean, I immediately thought when I looked at your term in office in the late 70s, I'm like, oh, yeah, that was very much a disco period. Clothing was a lot different than it is right now. Is there anything from your time that really stands out or that you would you'd go back and revisit or go back and change? I know I've given you a lot to chew on there.
Oh, yeah, just quickly. In the governor's mansion, in the executive residence, they have a picture of all the former governors. And Marty Schreiber is the only one with a plaid suit.
Of course.
Everyone else is wearing a dark, you know, blue or, you know, so forth, dark suit. And so those were the times, you know, didn't we have plaid pants and,
oh, yeah,
and plaid sport jackets and so forth. So it was above and beyond that, though, I just remember, you know, serving in public life and the type of disco and so forth, that sort of escaped me at the time. I raising the family.
See, you were raising a family. You were too busy for that. So you, yeah, you had an escape valve. So good for you. So you were raising this family with Elaine, your wife. And as I said before the break, when you're so focused on caregiving, the challenges that are there, that sometimes I would think is it easy to lose sight of those younger years? Or do you actually find yourself doing more reminiscing than ever, you know, missing what has now been lost?
Well, Pat, a combination. One of the greatest challenges of being a caregiver is to let go of this person who once was so you can embrace the person who now is. And as long as you keep on trying to hang on to those memories and keep the person in your world, that's going to make everything so much more difficult for the woman, for the person who is ill, as well as for the caregiver. And so you have to let go of those past memories to a degree so you can embrace this person who now is and have a new goal. And that goal is going to be to help your loved one live their best life possible. And that's going to sort of take precedence over hanging on to those memories. Now, memories are good. They're helpful. They bring smiles. They bring gratitude for all the good things that happened. But by the same token, we've got to let go so we can embrace this person who now is.
Yeah. Can you tell me a bit about Elaine, how you guys met?
Well, we were freshmen in high school in Latin class. And her last name, Thaney, my last name, Schreiber. And so we sat next to one another, and that was right. It was love for me right off the bat. And so we dated and went steady and got engaged and married and 4 children, 13 grandchildren, now 9 great grandchildren. But she, every, you know how important a loved one is when you're involved in the kind of sacrifice, energy they have to bring to the campaigns and the understanding of, you know, the just being a life's partner. And so she was that. I could not have asked for anyone better if I wanted to, as a teenager, I wanted to have a sailboat, and she went to the Armory Surplus store and she bought some parachutes and made a sail out of them. Okay. Well, that was just one thing. When I first ran for state senate, she was embroiled in trying to make sure that we reached every single brand new voter with a postcard and so forth. And just, I just can't say enough. And that's what makes it so hard to let go, to let go.
And yet, like you said, that has to happen at some point to be that caregiver. So you probably have talked to plenty of folks who have already played that role. But let's turn instead to people who may find themselves newly in that role with a diagnosis of Alzheimer's, dementia, or something else that's going to make those later years a challenge. If you could talk to somebody who is just now absorbing that news, what kinds of things would you tell them?
Well, first of all, Sam, I feel terribly for you. It can't be cured. But you can have a very realizable goal, and you might want to think about understanding that what you can really do is help your loved one live their best life possible. And the way you do that is by joining their world and not trying to keep them in your own world. Because if you try and keep them in your own world, that's where the additional frustration comes in. And then an example. Elaine and I are having lunch one day, and she started to cry. And I said, well, why are you crying? Well, she says, I'm crying because I'm beginning to love you more than my husband. Well, I didn't ask her what's wrong with her turkey husband. But here's what that meant to me, Pat. It meant that She did not have to know my name in order for our hearts to touch. And so, yes, we're going to see our loved one going through different changes, but it's still possible for hearts to touch by holding hands, by giving a hug, by singing songs together, by giving a smile, by just being together. And I would also tell the caregiver, understand what you're going to be going through, please. And I have to be very blunt with you, I would say, but you are going to go through grieving. You're going to go through frustration and guilt and anger. And sometimes you're going to lose your temper. Of all the things to the dear one you love, you're going to lose your temper. So understand that you're going to be going through this, but understand, get help. If you truly love the person who you are trying to serve, make sure you understand that you get help, that you can have a process of going through this. And within that framework, then just understand that you're going to be doing your best, and that's all anyone can do.
And I could not think of a better person to come up with that first accompaniment to somebody having to deal with this, whether it's as a spouse, a partner, extended family, anything like that. Former Governor Marty Schreiber has literally written the book on how to go about this. Governor, this was a thrill. Let's talk again soon. Let's talk more about political matters as well. I know you still got plenty of that going on that you want to talk about, so we will. But thanks for being with us this morning about the book.
Matt, it was my pleasure to see you again, and thank you for the opportunity.
You're very welcome. When we come back, we'll talk ag tourism in Wisconsin next. You're up north.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
We're going to talk to Hans Breitenmoser and Sheila Everhart from the Wisconsin Tourism Agricultural Tourism Association in just a moment. First, I want to pass on a couple of things from our interview with former Governor Marty Schreiber there. Tom and Jackson noting that that period when he was governor, 1977-78, better times, he texts us, people got along better than today. I would say amen to that. There was definitely more getting along and less looking for reasons to fight and disagree with each other. And I should also note that Governor Schreiber's book, My Two Elaines, again, the full title of it is My Two Elaines, Learning, Coping, and Surviving as an Alzheimer's Caregiver. Harper Horizon is the publisher of it, and you can go to simply the title of the book, mytwoelaines.com, mytwoelaines, mytwoelaines.com, and get information on how to purchase the book or just read more about what the former governor has to say about being a caregiver. And I do hope he'll come back and join us again and talk more about things that are in the news and from his time in public service at 85. He's got a lot of great things to share with us. Hans Breitenmoser is with us now from up near Merrill, and Sheila Everhart from Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism is joining us as well. Hans, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Pat. I'm fine. How are you doing?
Good, good. So we're going to get into the wonder of ag tourism in just a second here. I just know that if a tour bus were going by your place right now with people who were not familiar with farming, they'd all want to know the same thing. They're used to seeing crops, and now it's wintertime, and it's 10 below zero in some places. What are Wisconsin's dairy farmers doing these days when it's 10 below?
Well, when it's 10 below, we have some unique challenges. Because we got to keep water from freezing and manure from freezing. And ironically, we got to keep milk cool. This morning, before I was visiting with you here just a minute ago, I was trying to get the milk cooling condensers to work, because when it's real cold, ironically, they don't like to work. So that's, we're kind of sort of trying to just keep things moving when it gets this cold.
And that's the whole thing, is that again, we talk about this in many ways, but in this way as well, 10 below zero, the cow's still got to get milked.
You know, yeah, absolutely. Cows have to get milked. They have to get fed. They have to get cleaned up after. And so when diesel fuel gets cold and things start to gel up and some other systems on the farm, they're a little more challenged when it gets below zero. But it is what it is.
You see, you could be a tour guide already for one of these Wisconsin ag tourism deals. I remember the first time my exposure to ag tourism was somewhere south of Eau Claire, like in the Aliva Strum area, and somebody had a large barn with like 500 cows or whatever, and they purposely built it with a center aisle big enough to bring a tour bus through. And so we're riding this tour bus going through this, you know, working dairy barn. And I was like, is this like a one-off? And they're like, oh no, this is like the future. There's going to be more of it. So it, in leading up to our guest, give me your own impressions on ag tourism and how you came to know Sheila Everhart.
Well, I met Sheila at the Farmers Union Convention. She had a booth there and we got to talking, and I thought she'd be a fantastic guest for your show because I think she's clearly, and you'll find out how passionate she is about agritourism and the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association's interest in getting more ag tourism dollars floating around the state, because Sheila understands is better than anyone how important those dollars are to our rural areas. And I think it's also interesting because as we get farther and farther removed from ag, more, you know, fewer and fewer people are directly associated with ag. We become a little bit of a novelty where we become a little bit of a tourist destination, and people want to know what we're doing on our farms and where their food comes from and so on. So I think the work that Sheila's doing is super important, and that's why I thought she would be a great guest for your show.
Thank you
for having me, guys. I'm really sorry with this technology. I hope our audience can hear us, me, but I am not hearing Pat. So I'm going to interject at this time. Wisconsin is America's agricultural tourism destination. Wisconsin agriculture tourism brings in a great deal of economic money to our state. While you're home today and it's cold out, it is a great day to start planning your ag adventure in Wisconsin. 2025 is the year of agricultural tourism experiences. And we want to help our family farms stay sustainable, to maintain solvency, to keep family farms in production, and bring that next generation onto the family farm. So that is what Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association has been working for 31 years to be an advocate and a voice for our family farms. We provide marketing, education, and advocacy for our farms. Agricultural tourism is something that the consumer really desires. They want to go to a family farm. They want to see how their food is grown. They want to see how farmers like Hans take care of their animals 24/7, 365. They want to enjoy delicious, nutritious food grown on the farm, from the field to the fork and right into their mouth. When you experience agricultural tourism, we say that you eat, learn, do, and have fun.
Well, this all sounds perfect. And again, Hans, there's much like there's no one single farm. You know, there's dairy farms, commodities, and everything else. There are all kinds of different farms as well. So I wonder, and again, this is kind of a first for us where...
And Hans, if you want to just relay what's going on, I can interject at any time.
That's just what I was going to say. That's fine. Yep. First that we've had where one guest can hear me, but the other one can't. So Hans, let me turn things to you and have her talk more about what are some of the different types of farm tours? Like what specifically, you know, can people see on these tours?
Yeah. So Sheila, on these tours, what can people expect to see? What kind of different farms are you guys all going to and so forth?
So, you know, farmers property is very unique. A farmer, every farm has a story to tell. And, you know, we have many farms that have been in the families for 150 years, 100 years, and every farm is so unique based on where they're located. A farm in Lincoln County, like Johann's, is different from a farm that might be down here in Rock County or over in Polk County. So a farm, we tell farmers, you know, look at your assets, look at your farm. What is it that a consumer would like to learn about you? How can you tell your guest your story? So when you come to a farm, you might do a pasture walk and look for herbs and things that are grown in that pasture. You might go to a farm and you might milk a cow, or you might gather eggs. Farm stays, staying overnight on a family farm, are very, very hot right now. And people coming from the cities like Chicago and Minneapolis, they want to have their families have that cultural experience of a Wisconsin farm. You can pick flowers. You can pick berries from a berry patch. Of course, you pick pumpkins and apples. You can sip wine at a vineyard. The opportunities are endless and they're very unique. Even people are stargazing at night because there's no white noise. Some people are offering private hunting land on their farm with proper permits from the state. There are just boundless and endless opportunities to what agricultural tourism looks like.
Oh, yeah, and we're only going to scratch the surface on what all is here. So Hans and Sheila, I'm sure we'll have to come back and touch on this some more. If you don't mind asking, Sheila, let's talk specifically about corn mazes and what a growing sector that is and what a big year 2025 is going to be for corn mazes around Wisconsin.
So Sheila, tell us a little about corn mazes and the future of corn mazes. And if we do have time too, Pat, I'd like to also touch on, if Sheila could touch on the Office of Ag Tourism and Rural Innovation.
Yeah, let's do both
of
those.
So we are, you know, corn mazes have been around for a long time. And, you know, when agricultural tourism became very popular, or starting to climb in popularity in the 70s, you were talking about 1978 earlier in the show. Farmers were like, wait a minute, people are going to pay to come to my farm and walk in the corn? What? They had no concept back then of what that is. Fast forward to 2025, corn mazes are phenomenal. They're an educational tool to help our consumers learn about corn or learn about anything else in the egg production. So this year in 2024, our corn mazes in Wisconsin hit some national level attention because we had four family farms that teamed up with the Green Bay Packers and promoted the 2025 draft, which is coming to Green Bay in April of 2025. And so our farms and our corn mazes made national exposure. And if you ever watch the Green Bay Packers show on Wednesdays at 6:30, you will see the sizzle tape of the fall event playing in the background. And so we appreciate that partnership with Packers as we elevate the importance of agricultural tourism for our family farms, and the fact that our guests want to get out on a farm and they want to have fun. So we are excited. 2025, stay tuned. I'll come back again when we get this technology figured out for another show. But we have a hot partnership coming up in 2025 for the fall. Our fall season is September 11th through October 31st. So one of the things our Agricultural Tourism Association works with is our members, and we provide four pillars: marketing, we provide education, and we provide a voice for agricultural tourism. And our board members are very dedicated, and they're all volunteers. So our volunteers have been working for the last 4 years to say, how can we grow agricultural tourism in the state of Wisconsin? Because all of our neighbors are embracing this and they're supporting agricultural tourism because they know it's an economic engine and it makes a huge impact for every taxpayer in our state. So our volunteers have said, well, wait, I think we need an Office of Agricultural Tourism and Rural Prosperity, Rural Innovation, because we know that when farmers prosper, every rural community prospers. So there is a written biennium budget request for 2025-27 for an Office of Agricultural Tourism and Rural Innovation to solve the problem that we have, that farmers need a central location where they can go to find the resources to help them be successful and prosperous with their farm operation so that they can keep on that family farm. So a centralized location would be a game changer for our farmers and all of our rural communities, because if we work together and use proven models like they are in other states such as Montana, South Carolina, Tennessee, and Florida, we can work together to elevate Wisconsin as America's agricultural tourism destination.
You definitely see the positives there. Hans, would you pass along my thanks to Sheila, and then you and I will wrap things up here?
Well, Pat says thanks, and I say thanks very much, Sheila. It's been very interesting to talk with you, and I sure hope you're going to be able to get back another time so we can talk again, all three of us at the same time, to each other.
Thank you, Hans and Pat. And get out and plan your 2025 agricultural experience today. And there's great things happening in, of course, May, spring babies, June farm days and June dairy breakfast. And I would love to come back and talk about international events that are coming in June to Wisconsin. And we're so proud to have them. And just plan your experiences. And thank you for having me.
Thank you, Sheila, very much. We appreciate it. And Hans, thank you. Thanks for playing telephone with us. And we'll do it again with better technology soon. You take care. All right, thanks, Hans, Sheila, thank you both so much. Chad Holmes will be joining us next to wrap things up. You're up north.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Tomorrow on the program, we've got another busy one coming up for you where we will be talking to Hamilton, who is the St. Croix County Democratic Party chair and a recent candidate for state Senate. And he's going to be here to deliver a message that I've certainly provided frequently to candidates who come out on the losing end of elections. Don't go away. Your community still needs you as much as ever. There are plenty of opportunities to continue your civic engagement, and we'll talk about some of those roles that are available tomorrow on the program with Paul Hamilton. Chad Holmes joins us now from 98.9 WXCO up in beautiful Wausau, where, again, no disrespect to Wausau or the weather, but it's just stupid cold. Mr. Holmes, good morning.
Good morning. And you know why it's so cold everywhere? Because I've gotten all sorts of messages from Republicans from Madison to Washington. They've told me why it's cold.
Oh, why?
Because there's no... Oh, I'm gone. I'm sorry. I want to hear the reason.
DEI.
DEI.
You know what's funny?
That's why I was late, too. DEI.
DEI was why you were late? Yeah, yeah. You know, my coffee doesn't taste right. You know why? DEI.
You know why your guest could not hear you in the last segment? DEI.
Honestly, Chad, I thought you were going to say that with the weather that they were going to say, you know what they said? Where's your climate change now?
Where's your global warming?
I should have brought a snowball.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Well, you know why you couldn't, Chad? DEI.
Yeah, that's what caused the memory loss. Yeah. All right, well, we're having a little fun with how things are going to be changing in after what I'm referring to as the last normal week And the fact that we're going to be looking back on this time as normal is really saying something. But, you know, it is what it is. And one of the things that I've said before, and I guess this is how I'll kick things off with you, Chad, as well, is that, look, I hope I'm wrong, but I do think that when Trump takes office next Monday, he's not going to wait a day or two or a week or whatever. I think that very afternoon he's going to try signing some executive orders that are going to cause a bit of chaos, shall we say. And again, I could be wrong. Maybe he'll do the inaugural balls and the parties and everything. But I'm telling everybody in news world, like, you know, stay on your toes next Monday afternoon. Things could get a little bumpy.
Oh, I agree 100%. I just don't see him rolling in, having a calm inauguration, settling in. You know, nope.
That's not how he rolls.
It is like Lucy in the football. Please do not assume that ball is going to stay there and you're going to be able to kick it right through the goalpost. Be prepared. It is going to be pulled away starting on Monday afternoon, certainly.
And I think one of the things that people need to really remember is to look towards local, good, and trusted news outlets to report on what's really going on. Because I think, you know, we're seeing a lot of these high-end papers donating money to the Trump outfits. And on those couple days, you're probably going to see stories coming out of their paper saying, whoa, Trump really enjoyed the inauguration. Oh, the parties were so glitzy and glamorous. When really, if what you're saying is true, Pat, we need to find, like a civic media, news sources that are going to tell you what's really going on while all the glitz and glamour is happening.
Substance. Look for the substance. Yep. The signal, not the noise.
Yeah.
And I had a really good conversation with Dan Schaefer yesterday of the Recombobulation Area, political editor for Civic Media. We've had conversations all across Courier Newsroom as well, to say, look, there's going to be a lot of what I have called sideshows, you know, executive orders that have no chance of actually being implemented, but they're going to make a lot of noise. And always, 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 it's incumbent on all of us, talk show hosts, journalists, what have you, keep looking for the substance.
Yeah.
Or just as importantly, Chad, the lack of substance. Like, again, acquiring Greenland, the Panama Canal, making Canada a state, come back to the substance. What's that got to do with the price of eggs? Because I sure heard a lot about the price of eggs before Election Day.
Yep.
Well, I want to make one point before we kind of close the book on the Biden administration, because on Friday, I'm sure you guys saw the stats about the job numbers and also take-home wages.
Yeah.
Take-home wages in 2024 grew 3.9% over the past year, far outpacing inflation. Kitchen table items, and I was actually last night I was you know went past your place there, Pat, because I had a game in Triple Falls last night on the bus. I thought maybe we should stop by, but
but
I'm thinking about, you know, trying to put a lot of things together here in these final days, and one of the things that I it may be along the lines of something you've been talking about, but we never hear the Democrats do what the Republicans do. If the Republicans had the exact same information, they would be touting it as the best economy we've ever seen. And for some reason, Democrats have this idea where if there's one person out there that is not getting the benefits of it, we can't really say it's a great economy. That's not the way it works in this world. You have to be able to tout your successes. And when you look at basically the 4 years economically coming out of a worldwide pandemic, the way that we on the left fail to say, hey, there's a lot of really good things going on. That's one reason people tend to listen when they say every single day that J.D. Vance, they're handing us a dumpster fire. That's what he said on the Sunday shows. And it's not true.
It's not true. And I spent so much time picking on national media for not doing a better job of conveying the real picture of the economy instead of talking about the vibe. But let's face it, the Democratic Party and candidates, you know, equally culpable in that. And we'll have more to say before the Biden administration is all done on that. Chad Holmes, catch him on 98.9 WXCO right after this fine program. Chad, thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thank you, guys.
Mr. Bach will be back at 10 a.m. Matt and Air on Air.
Yes, sir.
What you got happening today?
Got Jimmy Koska on at 10:30 talking about getting some updates on childcare and whatnot. I'm going to talk about the news going on with our weekly Tuesday Civic Media guest. So
All right. Stay tuned for that coming up at 10 o'clock. And my thanks to today's guests, former Governor Marty Schreiber, Sheila Everhart of the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association, Hans Breitenmoser, Dan Hagen from WJFW Newswatch 12, Christina Laurie and Sharita Booker, and all of you for being here today. Up North News is part of Courier, a pro-democracy news network. I'm Pat Kreitlau.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.